from KQED.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Krasny, host of Forum on KQED in San Francisco, and the 49ers may be playing in Miami on Sunday, but there's another city on the mind of Bay Area football fans, and that's Kansas City, home of the Chiefs, the team that stands between the Niners and a sixth Super Bowl trophy. And just like there's more to San Francisco than the Golden Gate Bridge and cable cars, there's more to Kansas City than barbecue and jazz. And so joining us in mid-broadcast of his program is Steve Kraske, host of Up to Date on NPR member station KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri. And we thought we would offer his listeners a snapshot of life here, and he could do the same for us. And hi, Steve.
Michael, so nice to be with you. Welcome.
Good to have you. Welcome to you. And you can join, that is in Kansas City and San Francisco Bay Area, this conversation, whether you are in either of those areas that are facing off on Sunday in the Super Bowl. You can give us a call right now. Let us know what you think where the Super Bowl is concerned. The number to call, toll free, is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. And Steve, in addition to having names that sound similar and also being products of the University of Wisconsin, you and I share a number of other things. We're both professors, but I suspect we're rooting for different teams here. I'd like to know what you think initially of your team's chances, so we can hear in the Bay Area that, but also maybe begin by telling us how the fans in your area are expressing their excitement over the big game on Sunday.
Well, Michael, just for the record, when this conversation is over, I guarantee you'll be on rooting for the Chiefs, because there's just no way your team's going to pull this game off on Sunday. But you got to keep in mind here, for you guys and the success of your teams under Joe Montana and Steve Young for so many years, you guys have been to the Super Bowl a lot. This is a once-in-a-50-year shot for Kansas City fans out here, Michael. And I got to tell you, the city is simply going bananas. Buildings lit up in red and gold at night. All kinds of parties being planned. People making travel plans to go to Miami. It's really a crazy time here, and so exciting for this city to finally be back in the big game.
Well, we're excited here, too, despite all the many wins in the past. And I don't know about rooting for Kansas City. I got to tell you, when I think about this team, this 49ers team, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, has been put down by Jeff Rosen, your columnist there. There was some back and forth that was taking shots each. Our own Scott Osler was doing the same in the Chronicle against Kansas City. Some of the stuff was pretty funny. But Jeff Rosen said, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, a backup to Tom Brady. Come on, Jimmy Garoppolo has really proven himself. And we've got also a secret weapon, not so secret, like in Raheem Mostert, who ran 220 yards, excuse me, and did four touchdown scores back against the Green Bay Packers a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he makes me nervous.
He should make you nervous.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, I have to really give credit where credit is due. Your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is really superb. I think it's a real matchup of quarterbacks here.
Well, it is, and I think on that front, we have the edge. You guys would have the edge in probably other facets of the game, but Mahomes is incredible. And I got to tell you, maybe my views of this game are particularly slanted, because back in 2018, the home opener for my team, the Chiefs, was against the San Francisco 49ers. It was Pat Mahomes' first season as a full-time starter, and Garoppolo was the quarterback playing in Arrowhead Stadium that day. And we won that game going away, 38-27. Mahomes was 24-38, 314 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Garoppolo played a good game too, but it wasn't enough. So I've seen these two teams match up close and personal, and we came away ahead. But your defensive front four, your rush is impressive. You have one of our former players on the line with you now, and that makes me I'm a little anxious about that.
Well, you better get anxious about your pass defense, too. I mean, the fact of the matter is we've got a pretty strong defense going for us, and, I mean, your pass protection particularly.
Right.
It's going to be a good matchup. In fact, the Gamblers are giving it 1.5 points, I think, for Kansas City. But maybe at the end of this segment, you and I will have the opportunity to make predictions, something I almost never like to do, but I'm going to do it here today. And we'll also, of course, hear from our listeners in the course of this segment we're talking about. Did you know, by the way, before making it to the NFL, your coach, Andy Reid, once sold hot dogs as an assistant at San Francisco State?
No, you're kidding. I did not know that. No. But what a great guy he is, and he's has such a loyal backing here. And he's the big sympathy factor for so many Kansas Cityans because he's obviously never won the big game before, despite having one of the most stellar coaching records in the history of the NFL. So everyone in this city is rooting hard for Andy, and I think he's got a lot of fans around the country who are in his corner as well.
We got good guys as coaches on both
Absolutely.
Teams. We're worried about Tevin Coleman, though. He dislocated his shoulder. He's still on the sidelines, but I don't know, with a fractured shoulder, how likely he is to play. So there's that kind of wild card in all of this as well. But it's going to be an exciting game, and we're looking forward to it. And you're painting the town red there, aren't you?
Boy, there is absolutely no question about it, and it's going to be a blast. Well, Michael, we have some other things I wanted to talk about here about Kansas City and its issues and what you guys are up against out on the bay there. And I should just say that I love San Francisco. I just think it's one of the great American cities. I've lived out in the Stanford area for a year once and know the area a little bit and just think the world of San Francisco. But a couple of issues obviously are you know, everyone's has their share of concerns. One of the big ones is affordable housing. You know, a lot of Kansas City think we've got a big problem with that issue out here. But given the real estate prices and what I was looking at last night about the San Francisco area, my jaw dropped. Our problems here when it comes to affordable housing may pale in comparison, Michael.
They do pale. And we should say we were just discussing in the first segment of our opening hour a proposition that just went down to defeat, Senate Bill 30, excuse me, which was put forward by a state senator, which 50, I did say it right the first time, and would have made a big difference in housing, but there were problems with concerns about gentrification and concerns about not enough affordable housing and all that. We have figures here that boggle the mind. The median two-bedroom in San Francisco is $1.35 million, and
$1.35 million for a two-bedroom home?
That's right. For a two, and the median rent for a one-bedroom in San Francisco is $4,380 a month. So, $3,500, excuse me. So you guys are looking pretty good, maybe even though you have a bad crunch there.
Well, I hope your listeners will consider moving out to the heartland here, Michael, because I can get you in a really nice house here in the Kansas City area for a couple hundred thousand bucks and might even be three or four bedrooms worth of house for that amount of money.
I don't know if all these Democrats in San Francisco would necessarily be lured to. Kansas City is still pretty Republican, isn't it, for the most part?
Well, no. The city itself is a Democratic enclave, but we are surrounded by Republicans on both sides of the state line, and that has made some issues really tough for mayors, for instance. Our last two mayors, Sly James and Quentin Lucas, both wanted to see the state legislature in Missouri, in Jefferson City, pass some gun restrictions to help us with an incredibly difficult homicide rate we have in the city. It's intractable. It's been around for years, 150 homicides a year, and the new mayor, Mayor Lucas, wants to see that drop to below 100. But one of the big things he thinks we need to do is to deal with the guns and how easily accessed they are here in Kansas City. But you can't get the Republican legislature in the state capitol to go along because the NRA is very much in control of that capitol. And so from that standpoint, on that kind of issue, being a Democratic enclave surrounded by Republicans is really tough stuff.
You're also, though, falling right between two red states. And the fact of the matter is that, like San Francisco Bay Area, there are concerns throughout Kansas City on both sides. And by the way, when we talk about the two sides of Kansas City, we have to think that there are two sides of the Bay Area. There's Santa Clara, where the football action has always been going on, and there's the whole San Francisco Right. Bay Area in addition to that. But right now, immigration is in some ways maybe a bigger issue here because San Francisco is a sanctuary city, and certainly Kansas City is not.
Right. And, you know, it's an issue out here, but I don't think it's an issue like it is in California, where I think you have more immigrants than any other state in the country, Michael. Do
That's
I have
correct.
That right?
That's right.
Yeah. But here, it's not as big of issue. Missouri has one of the lowest population of unauthorized immigrants in the country, just 1% of the entire state's population. In Kansas, it's a little better, 2.6% of the state's population. But what's interesting interesting to me about it is in Kansas, we've actually seen some counties out west, you know, Dodge City, the city that's known for gunfights in the Old West, is now a county that's a majority Hispanic. And the interesting thing to me, we've done shows on it here on Up to Date in Kansas City, the interesting thing to me is that that community has really done well with the influx of people of color in ways that you don't see very often. Very few problems. The city leaders adjusted to it very well. Economics might be at the root of that. A lot of the Hispanics working at the meatpacking plants out there, white folks leaving western Kansas, now being replaced by Latinos who will take those jobs. So there is some convenience going on there. But having said it, it's interesting to me that we've seen this relatively speedy influx and transition in some western Kansas communities, and they've pulled it off really beautifully, Michael. How about in California there?
Well, in California, immigration is not only because of the number of immigrants a major issue, but in San Francisco and in other cities throughout the state, there is sanctuary for those who come here undocumented or illegal, as one more often hears, particularly, I suppose, in Kansas City. Do you hear that word undocumented as much in Kansas City?
You do hear it, yes.
Yeah. I just wondered about that. But the fact is, here in California, we've got, let's just take San Francisco for the moment. Our mayor, London Breed, has come out against ICE and has come out pretty strongly against their incursions in one way or another, responded, in fact, to proposed ICE raids in San Francisco last June by saying, quote, "It is unconscionable that the federal administration is targeting innocent immigrant families with secret raids that are designed to inflict as much fear and pain as possible." Now, Kansas City may be more of a Democratic enclave, but I suspect that there are pretty different attitudes in that in terms of city officials, aren't there?
Well, yes, and I was going to point out that as the good news I painted about western Kansas, I should also point out that Chris Kobach, who's one of this country's leading crusaders against illegal immigration, has been really tough on that issue, intensely controversial, has been a top aide to President Trump and has had his ear on immigration matters. You know, he's running again statewide in Kansas and might have a pretty good shot at becoming the Republican nominee for governor later on this year. He just lost for U.S. Senate. He just lost a tough race for governor a couple of years ago. So, you know, the state of Kansas still might elevate someone like a Chris Kobach, who is so intensely controversial on this issue. And a lot of folks around the country and in California probably won't appreciate that a whole lot.
Well, there's a kind of history repeating itself there, isn't there? At the turn of the 20th century, meatpacking plants saw a big influx of workers from Mexico who wanted to take those really tough jobs. But that's gone through a whole metamorphosis. Immigrants are now filling jobs again with meat processing plants in recent decades, aren't they?
That's exactly what's happening out in western Kansas, Michael. There's been this big transition, and history very much repeating itself here. Here we are 100 years later going through almost an identical process. And again, the economic advantages of that perhaps have smoothed relations between people of color and whites in western Kansas and made for a pretty harmonious gathering out there.
Well, we're going to bring you, our listeners, into this discussion. I just wanted to make one footnote here before we do. I know listeners may want to talk about the big game coming up or about comparisons or contrasts between San Francisco Bay Area and Kansas City. I just wanted to mention that Scott Osler, who I talked about before, said we have – and you're a professor of journalism. I'm a professor of literature. But he was writing about our great literary heritage. He said San Francisco has Kerouac and Twain and Ferlinghetti, the Bay Area, Michael Chabon, Kansas City, people who write Hallmark greeting cards. But Jeff Rosen
– I saw that.
Well, Jeff Rosen came back with some good shots, though. Jeff Rosen said he defended Kansas City's literary chops, saying, you know, come on. Mark Twain's from Missouri. What did he maybe have a cup of coffee in San Francisco? That's a bit of hyperbole to put it. But he mentions that Ernest Hemingway wrote for the Kansas City Star, which is true, of course.
You know, absolutely. And I worked for the Star for 33 years. And one of our proudest calling cards across the country, Michael, was this idea that we trained Ernest Hemingway. Back in the day, editors trained Ernest Hemingway in that short, concise writing style that he made so famous over the years and brought him so much fame in his career. He got his start doing that in the newsroom of the Kansas City Star, where I spent so many decades of my career.
Well, just tell Jeff Rosen, if you know him, don't call us Frisco. Herb Cain used to say that over and over again.
You don't like that. I know you don't like that out there.
Yeah. It's all right by me, but Herb K. made it into a fetish. Let me get a caller on here from Berkeley. Daniel, join us.
Thank you very much, Michael. This question is for your admirably overconfident Kansas City host. sir, as the Chiefs are a great football team, and Kansas City is a great city, and the 49ers, great football team, San Francisco is a great city, are the Chiefs like a Kansas City team, unlike the San Francisco 49ers, which is a 49ers, Santa Clara, San Jose, way outside of San Francisco team?
Right. No, that's a great question. And I'll say that the Chiefs are very much a regional team and so much interest in the team that extends up to Nebraska. There aren't any other NFL franchises any closer than Minneapolis, Denver. St. Louis used to have one, but obviously doesn't any longer. So very much a regional team. A woman on our sports commission was just on the show here this week. We were talking about the upcoming parade, the victory parade we're going to have in this town next week.
Wait a minute, going to have?
Oh, we're going to have after we win the game on Sunday. Right. And what was interesting, what she was saying, is just a few years ago, the Royals won the World Series. She thinks the crowds for a victory parade for the Chiefs will be even larger because of the regional attention and interest in the team that extends so far and wide out here in the heartland of the country.
Well, our parade is probably going to be in San Francisco, according to former Mayor Willie Brown. Let's try to get one more caller on here. David, sure, from San Francisco, join us.
Hi, longtime listener, second time caller. The first time I called you was the day after the Super Bowl when San Francisco lost to the Baltimore Ravens. I thought maybe it would be time to call before the Super Bowl. Three T's are the key to victory, I think. Turnover differential, taking the ball away more than the Chiefs do. Time management, which is something, the clock management of Andy Reid is not his best forte, and he's good for giving up points at the ends of both halves. And then third down conversions.
All right, David, thank you for that. And we get into the end of this discussion with Steve. And Steve, you want to make a prediction here?
Well, I think we're going to win 37-24, Michael. Bad news for you guys. But again, you've won enough Super Bowls out there. It's our turn out here. And we got Pat Mahomes, and you don't.
Yeah, but we're going to beat you by a couple of touchdowns. I'll just leave it at that. I don't like to make predictions, but we'll let that stand. And we might disagree on this, but this has been a very amicable conversation, and I thank you for this.
Well, Michael, we have a lot in common. I hope we can get together and have a cup of coffee sometime.
Yeah, we can maybe have some San Francisco French or something along those lines. Thank you for joining us. I'm the host of KQED's Forum. It's been great talking with Steve and learning more about Kansas City from him. And it looks like we could be on a receiving end of some kind of deal here. It's it. Ice cream sandwiches and a recorded message of congratulations from KQED. You take that bet, Steve?
Well, I want something more than ice cream sandwiches, Michael. We're going to ship you some barbecue for winning this game, and you're going to come out way on the better end of that deal.
Okay. We'll look forward to some real Kansas City barbecue.
All the best, Michael.
Yeah, same to you. Good to have you on. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay, it's good talking to him, and I hope that was fun. It was fun for us, but also we talked about some serious issues as well, immigration and also housing. You can join this conversation, by the way. We're going to continue it, whether you're listening in the Bay Area or Kansas City. Well, you're not listening in Kansas City anymore, but if you are, you can call us at our toll-free number. You can join the conversation. And the number to call is 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786. You got Chuck Nevious? Chuck, are you there?
I am here, you bet.
Yeah, how are you?
That was impressive. Did you? Well, Michael, good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. Did you hear those predictions between me and my colleague in Kansas City?
Yeah, I was saying Steve is very confident. I'm impressed with his confidence.
Well, I assume you're not that confident of a Chiefs victory.
No, I don't think so. For a team that's only won one Super Bowl in its history, Kansas City, I think that's pretty cocky when you think of a team that's won five. But, you know, as my old sports editor used to say, this is why they play the game, to see what happens. So we can predict what we want, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I mentioned the concern about Coleman. Do you know anything up to date on that?
Coleman's injury?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be game time. I'm not. I doubt that he'll see much action. I think they'll probably play Breida, And of course, Mostert has been a big hit ever since he got in the lineup. So I think they have people. I wouldn't expect to see much of Coleman. That's a very inside question, though. Good job, Michael.
Anything you're looking for, especially on Sunday, Chuck?
I think that the question is going to be, and I think we're going to hear it over and over and over up to kickoff, is what about Jimmy Garoppolo? What about Jimmy G? The last two playoff games, of course, the 49ers have run and run and run through teams. And I think it's impossible that Kansas City will not stack up the line and try to stop the running game. And so let's just see what Jimmy G can do. In fact, one of the defensive linemen for Kansas City actually said that this week. Let's just see if he can do it.
And running game brings to mind, of course, the fact, I mean, the 49ers have actually shown a really demonstrated terrific running game, but Mahomes can throw a long pass, and he throws a lot more long passes than Jimmy does.
Well, he does, but I think we end up forgetting, and it happens, this is something that always kind of annoys me in baseball, too, that somebody will have a good season, and then we'll get to the playoffs, and they'll go 0-for-5. And we'll see the player, and they'll say he's mired in a slump. You know, I mean, Jimmy G has not thrown a lot of passes in the playoffs, but he did during the regular season. And, you know, for all the criticism, he hasn't had those games where somebody goes 3-for-18 and throws two interceptions or something like that. He's been effective. He threw for over 350 yards against the Saints in a real shootout. I mean, he came through at the time. So I think he's capable of doing it. He doesn't throw a great long ball down the sidelines. He works closer to the middle of the field, and that's one of the reasons I think he goes up with a few interceptions. But someone said the other day on ESPN, and I thought this was a good stat, Garoppolo is the only quarterback in the NFL this year who is in the top five in completion percentage, yards per completion, which means he's not just throwing short passes, and touchdown passes. And those are three good indicators. And if he's in the top five of each one of those, yeah, he's no schmoo. He can play. So we'll see what happens. But I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's going to do well. We'll see.
Am I right making the observation that he has better pass protection than Mahomes does?
I think so. I think that's true. And I think it depends on the defensive line. And I think that, as we know, as everyone has seen this year, the 49ers defensive line has improved by leaps and bounds. And
they got the league low now in yards given up, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they put the heat on the quarterback. The wild card, of course, is that Mahomes is so active. And, you know, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, I thought made it a great last week. He said, you know, we talk about him and he's athletic and he does all these things, but he's really playing quarterback. In other words, he's not one of those guys that takes a quick look at the first receiver and then says, that's not going to work, I'm going to take off and run. Mahomes is always looking downfield. And he makes those last-second throws that really kind of, you know, to keep the team going and also really impress you. So it's going to be tough to get to him, but I think that putting pressure on him is still a good tactic. That's very much what New England did last year in the Super Bowl. They rushed a lot of guys. The conventional wisdom is you can't get to Mahomes, so you only rush three guys and play coverage. That's not what they did, and they ended up winning that game. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right, we got Chuck Nevious on. Let's get some of our listeners on, hear your thoughts about the upcoming Super Bowl. Let's start off with Sonny in Calistoga. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. First-time caller. I'm from Kansas City. I've been in the Bay Area for 20 years. The last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I was 4. The psyche of the town of Kansas City, it's just so identified with the Chiefs. I think it's very, very different than here. Whether you're in football or not, when Sunday comes up, the question goes, what are you doing for the game? It's just part of the culture. I really miss that. The Bay Area just has so many things to do during the football season. I don't really knock it. But when it comes to the fan base, I just – no way does San Francisco compare. I know that's tough to hear, but it really is true. Actually, in San Francisco, North Beach, there's a bar where all the Kansas City fans get together. I assure you, there is no such bar in Kansas City. It is red and gold all the way through Kansas City Chiefs. While I will say towards the game, I think it's going to be fantastic. Mahomes will not look downfield as much as people think. I think the cover three really eliminates that to a certain degree. We're going to see a lot underneath, but if a lot less downfield than people will suspect. The Chargers kind of run the same defense, so it'll be interesting to see I still think the Chiefs take it by 2 touchdowns, but I really look forward to it. It's a special time for me.
Well, you're giving the opposite prediction to me. I took the 49ers by 2 touchdowns, but I thank you for that call. It's interesting to speculate about what the caller said about towns and the activities that are offered in those towns. I said earlier that I lived in Wisconsin, as our Kansas City host did, and boy, everything was Green Bay Packers. There wasn't that much to do outside of cities like Milwaukee and Madison. And cities that don't have a great deal of activity like the Bay Area has, or don't have so many opportunities for the kinds of activities, often really do focus on their football and baseball professional teams. Let me get another caller on here. Nancy is next. Nancy, you're on. Morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Chiefs by 10. Chiefs all the way. Chiefs will annihilate the 49ers, and Jamal Charles will be there too.
And let me ask what your confidence is due to, Nancy, if I may.
Well, I've been a Chiefs fan for years, and I've just, you know, I watch every game 2 or 3 times. And also 49ers, I watch the games. I watch every game. And the Chiefs just have it this year. Mahomes is stronger than Jimmy G. He's got a tighter connection with his field. Even though I think that your defense is going to be great. I love Richard Sherman. Old school lover of Richard Sherman since Stanford. But it's just going to be a better game. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. You have stressed your convictions, and I thank you for them. And we'll get another caller on, and that's Annie, all women callers. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I'm not as well informed on football as the previous caller, but I just wondered if you had something I could dazzle my boyfriend with in terms of knowledge about he's a 49ers fan. And something I could say during the game that would,
Let me defer to our friend Chuck Nevius on this. Chuck, you want to give her some, from your quiver, an arrow for her? I'm thinking Cupid because this is her boyfriend, but really dazzle him with the 49er fact or nuance?
Jay, so you're looking for a fact that would boost the Kansas City and make a little knock on the 49ers? Is that what we're trying to do here?
Just anything that you think would sound very knowledgeable.
Informed. You want to sound informed on the 49ers. Your boyfriend, something maybe he doesn't know or doesn't think of. Yeah.
Well, let's try this then. Why don't you say when the 49ers are on defense, and when D Ford, who's number 55, when he's out there, then you say, I hope D Ford doesn't jump off sides again like he did in the Super Bowl that cost the Kansas City Chiefs the game. Now he's a 49er.
Now, that should dazzle him, Annie. That's very sage
doesn't.
Advice from Chuck Nevius. That's a good one. That's a chestnut.
The most.
Good luck. And here's hoping you dazzle. And here's hoping the 49ers dazzle. I'll express my own bias. This is something we journalists, NPR, don't necessarily do. But there it is. I'm a 49ers fan and hope that they will defeat the Chiefs. But it's going to be a good game. And thanks to all who called. And thanks again to the host that we spoke with earlier from Kansas City, Steve Kraske. And thanks to the people behind the scenes here. Let me give a shout-out to our producers, Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, Ariana Prale, and Caroline Smith. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Engineer is Danny Bringer. Interns, Sam Klein-Markman. And our executive editor is Ethan Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. For all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.